Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today for another in-depth conversation that really is for the purpose of empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And that really is the name of the game these days, getting empowered with the kind of information that can put you on the right track so you can heal your body. And as we all know, the body is an amazing expression of infinite possibilities and self-healing. One of the areas, however, that we often forget that is a possibility for are our eyes. And we live in a time when we are seeing increasing incidences of glaucoma, macular degeneration, just impaired eyesight in general, and people are really concerned, especially the older we get, the last thing in the world we want to do is lose our vision. So today, we're going to be sharing the secrets, or really the title of the show, are the 10 essentials to save your sight, and to help us and inspire us and give us the strategies and protocols is my guest today, Dr. Edward Kondrat, who is a board-certified ophthalmologist and homeopath, international best-selling author, and host of Healthy Vision Talk radio show, and also of the book, 10 Essentials to Save Your Sight. He is a leading homeopathic, the world's leading homeopathic ophthalmologist, and devotes his practice to traditional and alternative therapies for the treatment of eye disease. Dr. Kondrat's extensive research has taken him around the world and places him in a unique position to share his knowledge. He has two best-selling books, Healing the Eye, the Natural Way, and Microcurrent Stimulation, Miracle Eye Cure. He is also the host of a weekly radio show called Healthy Vision Talk Radio, broadcast on FNX Talk Radio. His prestigious Center for Healing the Eye promotes wellness of sight, body, mind, and spirit, and is located in Phoenix, Arizona. The center treats patients who seek holistic, non-invasive therapies for eye problems that include macular degeneration, glaucoma, cataracts, eye strain, and other eye disorders. And it is such a pleasure to have Dr. Edward Kondrat with us today. So welcome, and thank you for being on the show today.
Well, Dr. Selman, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for those kind words. But I do have one correction. My office is no longer in Phoenix, Arizona, but I'm here in Dade City, Florida, which is north of Tampa.
I went from
I went from a dry, hot climate to a wet, humid climate.
Well, I hope you like the wet, hot, humid climate. Quite a change.
No, it's funny. It's funny because in Arizona, we would get 9 inches of rain a year. And my first week here in Florida, we got 10 inches in one day.
It's a very different world, I can tell you for sure. Palm trees instead of those various cactus varieties.
Yeah. The saguaro cacti, yeah.
You know, I have listened to you on some YouTubes. I have visited your site. I find your work really fascinating and so inspiring, especially in this day and age when we are seeing this growing incidence of chronic eye conditions. You know, the older we get, the more we're concerned about our sight, and that's when macular degeneration and glaucoma seem to be, and cataracts, you know, are so prevalent. And I know that you have really been devoted to offering alternatives. And you know, and most importantly, and we can start with this concept of you can heal your eyes. And you don't have to be at effect of these conditions. Can you give us some understanding about that point right there?
Well, you know, typically the patients that I see, the people that I see, have been told by their eye doctor, nothing can be done. You know, get your affairs in order, you're going to lose your vision. And so it's very rewarding to me because the alternative therapies that I work can reverse chronic eye disease. cataracts, macular degeneration, and glaucoma. And there really isn't any secrets to, you know, regaining good health and good vision. You know, you start with the basics. And the most fundamental thing is really looking at your diet to make sure that you're putting healthy food and nutrients into your body. The body has an amazing ability to heal itself. But if you're contaminating the body and you're eating microwave food and processed food and genetically modified food and high fructose corn syrup, my goodness, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. So that's really a big part of what I teach people is, you know, looking at your diet and making those changes.
So what really is generating, well, maybe we should define some of our terms. So we can talk about macular degeneration, glaucoma, and cataracts. I think we need to really explain what is going on in the eye when these conditions are diagnosed.
Well, all of these conditions are the result of aging, but I feel that individuals can age gracefully. They don't have to age and have problems with their vision. I mean, the eye is a remarkable organ, and it does kind of reflect our general health. And sometimes problems will begin in the eye while the rest of the body is fairly healthy. Toxins in the body, heavy metals, emotional problems, all these things can first begin to manifest in the eye. And, you know, before the radio show, I was thinking, you know, what advice I can give women out there who may be getting in their 50s, going through menopause. And what I have observed over the years that, you know, when you hit menopause, it's kind of a threshold in your life. You know, you can either age gracefully and be vibrant for the remaining years, or these chronic conditions, you know, can surface. And the two areas that I'm really focused on are emotional issues that begin to crop up at menopause. And I really haven't put my finger on that, but I'm seeing more and more women who maybe had some childhood issues, and they've kind of put them under wraps all their life. And now maybe that they're going through menopause, they're either reflecting on them subconsciously or they're surfacing, and, you know, they need to be addressed. And often they lead to serious eye problems. I just treated a young lady who had some childhood issues. When she was 5 years old, her mother died suddenly. And there's a lot of guilt, and she was reproaching herself because of this, and a lot of suppressed tears, and now she has glaucoma. And now that this has come to the surface, I think we have a really good chance of curing her glaucoma, because glaucoma is elevated eye pressure, and some doctors feel that this is suppressed tears, you know, not getting the grief out into the open. Not dealing with some of these emotional issues. So I think that my approach is always to look at the emotional connection to eye disease. And something else I think occurs that we really have to be aware of when you do go through menopause, certain physiological things take place in your body. One of them is that the bones begin to soften and osteoporosis develops. And often you can get a release of heavy metals in the body, in particular lead, and this can lead to chronic eye problems. So you're healthy all your life, and then you go through menopause, and then you develop cataracts. You know, why does this happen? Well, the lead is being released into the body, so we need to address that.
That's so interesting. Many people, probably most people listening, don't understand that the lead that's in our environment is a toxic metal, accumulates in bones, in bone tissue. And most of us actually have lead already kind of embedded into our bone tissue, which isn't necessarily a good thing. So what you're saying is when you are at greater risk of bone loss and the calcium and minerals are being released, the lead will also be released into the bloodstream and can circulate and find its way.
Yeah, so, you know, most of your life, the lead is safely stored in your bones. And then you go through menopause, you start to get early osteoporosis. So you got to do everything you can to keep those bones strong. And, of course, weight-bearing exercise and hormonal replacement therapy, making sure your thyroid is functioning well, you know, keeping all those organs and hormonal systems in tip-top shape. That can be one of the most important things you can do to prevent the onset of eye problems such as cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration.
So does the lead act as initiates free radical damage? Is that why it's associated with damage to the eye tissue and to structures of the eye?
I'm not sure of the exact mechanism, but lead is extremely toxic, and it begins to accumulate in the ocular tissues, and it interferes with the metabolic function, interferes with neurological function. And I think there was a recent study out of Harvard that definitely correlated elevated lead with the development of cataracts. And routinely when I see someone in the office, one of the first things that I do is I'll get a six-hour challenge test. And I think it's really important that you do a challenge test because you could be dying of lead poisoning and a simple urine test will be normal. Because lead doesn't stay in the urine. It goes into your brain, your eye, your fat, and in your bones. So you really need to take something to release the lead, then measure the lead, and then take the appropriate steps to treat that.
Well, I'm sure if you do a challenge test for heavy metals, you see lots of things that are coming out of lots of heavy metals that are being released out of the body.
Right. Not only lead, but mercury, cadmium. I'm seeing a lot more patients with aluminum. And, of course, when I see mercury elevated, I begin to inquire about their dental health. How many mercury amalgams have they had? And have they had any root canals? Sometimes I have to laugh. If you have an eye problem, you should probably see your dentist first before you see your eye doctor.
Because of inflammation or because of leaking?
Oh, no, because I think that the mercury and the amalgams and the root canals have definitely been correlated. You know, when you have a root canal, my goodness, it's a chronic source of infection that's interfering with the meridians in the body. You know, each tooth is associated with an acupuncture meridian. And when you have an infection or a cavitation or a root canal, it interferes with the meridian. I don't know if this is true, but I read an article that stated that every woman with breast cancer has an associated root canal that's a causative factor. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. I don't know if I believe it.
Well, I don't know if it's every woman, but there's definitely a correlation with the teeth. There's certain molars that actually have a correlation with the meridians to the breast, definitely.
But you really have to think of the teeth when you're dealing with eye problems.
I guess with anything, you know, any toxicity in the body is going to be impacting all the tissues. And I guess the eyes are incredibly vulnerable, aren't they? Because those little capillaries are so teeny tiny.
Well, the eye has such a high metabolic turnover. You know, the choroid, which is the vascular layer of the eye, circulates, I think, all the blood in the body. I don't know how many times in a minute or an hour, but extremely high vascular flow. And the retina has an extremely high demand for nutrition, oxygenation, and essential minerals. So when those are lacking, you begin to get changes in the eye, sometimes long before you get changes in the body. In fact, when an eye doctor like myself, when I look into the eye, we can see the reflection of the macula. And a healthy person that has a good, healthy diet will have kind of like a yellowish reflection. It's called the macula lutea. Lutea means yellow. So a young person, someone with a healthy diet, has that nice, shiny reflection. When you have a poor diet, you begin to lose that yellow reflection. So very quickly, an eye doctor can look in the eye and tell immediately if you have the necessary nutrients.
Wow.
And, of course, one of the earliest changes we see with macular degeneration is something called drusen, and this is an accumulation of waste products in the retina. It looks like little warts, and then these little warts grow, and they cause interference with the vision, and then they cause damage to the choroid or the blood supply, and you get leakage, and you get wet macular. So these changes can be prevented. They need to be addressed early, and there are many steps you can take. So the listeners out there, if an eye doctor or doctor tells you that nothing can be done, prove him wrong. You can do a lot of things to help reverse these chronic changes in your eye.
So let's start. Can we talk about these different conditions? Can we talk about macular degeneration? What are the best supplements or nutritional support? What's really happening? Is it the lack of blood supply? Is it damage to the vascular system? The blood is leaking, like you said, in the wet vascular and the wet macula form. I guess maybe we just, let's go through each of these conditions, explain what really is going on, and what you have found to be important components to support the healing. Because the thing is, the most important thing you said to me and to everyone listening, I hope everyone hears it, you can heal these things. You can heal macular degeneration, especially, I would imagine, if you catch it early, right? That would be the key.
Well, even if you catch it moderately late.
Really?
You know, the body has an unbelievable ability to heal, and I see miracles all the time. You know, someone will come in barely able to read the top line on the eye chart, and after beginning these treatments, now they have functioning vision. They can read.
So exciting. That is
so
exciting.
It is possible.
You know, I want to say that people don't get that message when they go to their ophthalmologist with these conditions, that they don't get that. They may be put on some medications and sent off on their way, but they're never given any hope that these conditions can be improved or even reversed.
Well, you know, I started out as a doctor like that because I'm a board-certified ophthalmologist, and I thought that surgery could cure any eye problem that you had. And I was a very good surgeon, and then I developed a severe case of adult-onset asthma, taking 3 medications, multiple side effects. Couldn't operate because I had a bad tremor. I was miserable. Traditional medicine said there's no cure. Make sure you take your medication or you'll die. And then I discovered homeopathy, and one homeopathic remedy cured me of my asthma. And I said, my goodness, why didn't they teach us this in medical school? So I got my homeopathic degree, and I've been using the homeopathic approach to treat chronic eye problems. And homeopathy kind of looks at the underlying cause, you know, whether it's emotional, metabolic, and we believe that the body has the ability to heal, and by giving medications in small amounts and dilutions, we can stimulate the body to heal.
Yes,
so to answer your question about, you know, the causes of macular, it's very simple. It's, you know, toxins, decrease in oxygen, decrease in nutrients, and there's always an emotional component. So first thing I do is I begin to look at which one of those factors are prominent, and you need to address that particular factor. Either taking care of the heavy metals, developing ways to improve oxygenation or blood flow. And 2 therapies that I really love are microcurrent stimulation and oxidative treatments. Microcurrent stimulation uses a very low level current to stimulate cellular activity and improve blood flow. And oxidative therapies uses ozone, which is a highly reactive form of oxygen, to improve oxygen uptake of the cells, help with regeneration. So the microcurrent and the oxidative therapies are usually reserved for people who have more severe visual loss, where something extra, we need to do something extra to kind of turn things around. But I think the majority of the people who have early macular changes just need to look at their diet, need to increase hydration, reduce stress, and get out and exercise and do these very basic things that you probably you hear over and over again. As a naturopathic doctor, you know, you kind of preach these things to your patients and you hope that they follow this advice.
Well, that's true. We preach a lot because it goes back to your basics, isn't it? You have to nourish the body. You have to nourish every single cell of the body for it to function.
And you have to nourish the body energetically, spiritually, emotionally. All these aspects mm-hmm. are very important for healing. Mm-hmm. And I do feel very strongly that, you know, it seems to be an emotional component to just about every disease that I see. And it's interesting because I get very healthy people coming in their 60s and they have macular degeneration. And why am I getting this? You know, maybe they follow a good diet. But energetically, you know, they look in the mirror in the morning and they don't want to see that old face. Maybe their body feels like it's 30 or 40. So the body has a higher wisdom. They start to get a little blur spot in the center so they can't see their aging. So it's like a way that you protect the body from aging. So there's a lot of subtle things that can occur in people that may be a stimulus, you know, for the eyes to change. So you need to embrace the fact that you're getting older. I'm going to be turning 65. I feel like I'm 30. Days I feel a lot older, but you know, you got to try to keep a balance in your life, exercise and good diet and a healthy approach to your life.
Well, let's go on, and well, I agree with all of that, and I actually was a psychotherapist before becoming a naturopath, so I worked with mind-body approaches, and I saw miracles happen when people were able to heal the misperceptions that they carried that were manifesting in physical forms. So I'm so glad you're working with that emotional component. You can't heal without addressing unresolved.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
And that's where homeopathy is wonderful, because homeopathy treats the whole person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we treat the emotional state, physical problems, and we kind of put everything together to try to get that remedy that acts as a catalyst to treat the whole person.
Well, I'm a big fan of homeopathy. It's quite profound how homeopathy can initiate healing, and it just is so simple and so safe. So let's talk about glaucoma. What do we need to know about glaucoma?
Well, I'm seeing more and more glaucoma, especially in younger people. And I really haven't put my finger exactly why I'm seeing more cases of glaucoma. But I do think it has to do with environmental factors, emotional factors, and, you know, once again, getting back to the diet and our nutrition, genetically modified food, vaccinations. I think all these things are contributing to glaucoma. And also, I believe that, you know, the emotional factor. You know, glaucoma is a disease where eye doctors consider it a disease of increased intraocular pressure. But there are many forms of glaucoma, and I believe glaucoma is a disease of the optic nerve, degeneration of the optic nerve. And so all of the factors that can cause degeneration anywhere else in your body have to be looked at when you have glaucoma. So we need to look at our diet, nutrition, and remove heavy metals and take care of the emotional component. Unfortunately, traditional eye doctors just worry about the pressure. Mm-hmm. We got to lower the pressure, because lowering the pressure, you improve the blood flow to the optic nerve. The analogy is you have a garden hose, and if you put your foot on it, that's high pressure. Garden hose, the flow of water is going to decrease. So if you have high pressure in your eye, it shuts off the flow of blood to your optic nerve. So you need to lower the pressure and improve the blood flow to the nerve. My approach is to do things to increase the blood flow to the optic nerve, like microcurrent, chelation therapy, oxidative treatments, and even simple exercise, doing all these things to improve the vitality of the optic nerve. So sometimes just using eye drops are not the best mechanism to treat glaucoma. You have to look at the whole person. You got to look at all these factors. Glaucoma is a very serious disease, and it's one of the few diseases that can lead to total blindness. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I have to wear two hats. I'm doing, you know, the homeopathic and alternative, but at the same time, if we can't get the pressure and we don't see a change in the optic nerve, you still need to continue using the eye drops. But usually, once you find out the underlying cause, I believe that glaucoma can be reversed.
And obviously you've seen that in the programs that you do and with your patients.
We see it all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just as simple as giving someone the right homeopathic remedy. Mm-hmm. In other cases, it has to be maybe a year of heavy metal detoxification and maybe emotional work. Mm-hmm. But it's very rewarding, because many of these people have been abandoned by their eye doctors. They've been told nothing else can be done. And, you know, we just roll up our sleeves and we begin, approaching each aspect that we feel that can help that person.
Well, I'm sure this is great news to everyone listening, because we so rarely hear this kind of encouragement when it comes to these more chronic eye problems. And, again, you're inspiring us to know that if you make changes, if you nourish the body, if you detoxify, address things on all levels like you were talking about, the body will respond, the eyes can heal. I just want, before we go to our break, can we just briefly talk about cataracts? Because that seems to be, again, a really common issue. And generally, it's addressed by a surgery. So do you think that surgery is necessary for cataracts? Is it safe for cataracts? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you would have asked me that question 30 years ago, I would have given you a completely different answer. I mean, there's no question that the surgical procedure, removal of cataracts, is one of the most successful operations in ophthalmology. But I believe that cataract surgery can be a form of suppression. You know, you're not treating the underlying cause of the cataract, and simply by removing the cataract, it's going to lead to deeper and more severe eye problems like macular degeneration. Mm-hmm. And I see this all the time. It's not only my opinion. Recently, the Journal of Ophthalmology statistically reported that there's an increased incidence of macular degeneration after cataracts. And, of course, their discussion is that, well, these people are getting older, they're going to get it anyway. I don't think so. It's just simply suppression of the disease, not looking at the underlying problem. The other big issue I have, we know the dangers of plastics, the benzene derivatives, the phthalates that are leached off of plastics. So eye doctors put a small plastic lens inside the eye, which is essentially in the area of the brain. So you're getting plastic material that's leaching into our neurological system. So I think there's a concern with that. So I feel very strongly that if you do have cataracts, they can be reversed. You need to look at the underlying problem, get rid of the lead, the heavy metals, change your diet, do some energetic treatments, such as microcurrent, some of these other things that I talked about, and we do see a reversal of the cataracts. Now, I'm not totally against cataract surgery. I think if you have advanced cataracts and you're visually incapacitated, then you need to have the surgery. But unfortunately, most people will have cataract surgery at the earliest stage when they don't even have any vision compromise of their vision, which is unfortunate.
You know, I have a almost 92-year-old mother, and she just went to her eye doctor, and she's got some cataracts. It's not serious. It's not like it's impairing her vision, but they want to do cataract. Of course, they're going to suggest cataract surgery for her. What would your thoughts be on someone of, you know, that age without a really chronically advanced form of cataracts? Doesn't impair her vision. It may be dim a little bit, but it's not really stopping her.
Well, there's absolutely no indication for surgery.
Really?
I mean, indication for cataract surgery is, there's only one main indication. It's compromising your vision and lifestyle. If you're 90 years old, you can still watch TV, get around, cook, and you can still function and do the things you enjoy in life. There is absolutely no indication of cataract surgery. Absolutely
right.
None.
Right.
In rare cases, the cataract can grow and cause a type of glaucoma, but that's as rare as hen's teeth.
Right.
Occasionally happens, and then it'd be an emergency surgery.
Right.
But I think you're opening up a can of worms and removing your cataract at age 90 when you have no visual problems.
Right.
May lead to macular degeneration, glaucoma. I think it's criminal.
And it's done routinely.
Routinely. I see people all the time. They had their cataract removed 5 years ago, and now they're coming in with advanced macular. And I asked them, why did you have the cataract removed? Well, the doctor said I had a cataract that should be taken out. Did you have any trouble with your vision? No, but my insurance covered it, so I thought, well, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a common story.
Well, this is such a great topic and a really important conversation. We need to take a quick break, but we're going to come back, and we're going to be discussing some of the important nutrients and other key strategies that you need to know about to keep your eyes healthy and to help heal your eyes. So don't go away. We're having a really profound conversation with Dr. Edward Kondrat, who is the author of 10 Essentials to Save Your Sight. And you are listening to What Women Must Know. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. We will be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we are exploring natural solutions for healing your eyes. Important information that you probably haven't heard before. And my guest today is Dr. Edward Kondrat. He is the author of 10 Essentials to Save Your Sight. He is a board-certified ophthalmologist and a homeopath, a great combination, I might add. And, we're talking about these various eye conditions. I thought we could maybe move on to some of your guidance of what we need to know. I know on your cover of your book, you have right there, it says sunglasses can actually harm your eyes. Let's talk about some practical strategies that we need to know about, maybe some of the key nutrients. There are some nutrients that are being promoted for eye health, and I'd like to have your thoughts on all those things.
Okay, well, believe it or not, sunglasses can harm your eyes. Now, let me explain that. Normally, when you go out on a bright, sunny day, your pupils will constrict. The sun will make your pupils smaller. It's a natural physiological response to bright light. Most people buy sunglasses based on how dark they are. You want to get the darkest pair of sunglasses to protect your eyes from the bright light. So what happens is you go outside with these dark glasses. Your pupils don't constrict. They stay dilated. Then a lot of harmful ultraviolet light will enter your eye. So it's more important that you find a good pair of glasses with UV blockers that block the ultraviolet light. Now, I'm beginning to change my opinion about sunlight and macular degeneration and cataracts. I was taught in my training that all ultraviolet light, sunlight, is bad for the body and bad for the eyes. But right now, what is one of the biggest deficiencies that everyone's talking about? Vitamin D. And my goodness, the reason why we're all deficient in vitamin D, we're not getting enough sunlight. There was an interesting article that I read. A study was done at the Wills Eye Hospital where they showed that rabbit pigment epithelium, retinal cells, will not generate without low levels of ultraviolet light. So I do think that we need a moderate amount of ultraviolet light. So people that avoid UV light, that are vitamin D deficient, are going to be prone to more eye diseases such as macular degeneration. So you do need a moderate amount of ultraviolet light. The story is even more interesting because in the eye we have cones, which are an element that receives specific wavelengths of light. We have red cones, green cones, and blue cones. And we also have ultraviolet cones. Why would God make our body with ultraviolet cones if we're not supposed to have a moderate amount of UV light going into our eye? So I'm changing my opinion. I do think that we need sunlight, we need a moderate amount for our health, and we need a moderate amount for good, healthy vision.
So how much would you say, I mean, should we have a certain amount of time without any sunglasses? What would be your guidelines about these?
Well, I stopped wearing sunglasses after I did my research. But on the other hand, I'm here in Florida. If I'm spending a day on the beach and the sun's bright and beating down on the sand, I'll wear my sunglasses. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's so many people, they walk from their home to their car and they put sunglasses on.
Yes.
I think the important thing, Cheryl, is to make sure that you don't get a burn. I think it's when you get too intense light too quickly and you get a burn on your skin. That's the dangerous point. So a moderate amount, and of course it depends on your skin tone, your genetic makeup, on how much sunlight, and also where you live. Certainly in Phoenix, Arizona, the sun's a lot different than Florida. You do not want to go out at noon or 1 o'clock in Phoenix at all. The sun is just so bright because we're, you know, at a higher altitude there, and the air is very dry and thin, so you've got a very intense ultraviolet light. But the key is moderation. Moderation in everything. You know, too much oxygen can kill you. Too much water can kill you. And the same thing with too much ultraviolet light, too much sunlight can be damaging.
So we don't want to be paranoid. I mean, what I hear you saying is you want to have some time without your sunglasses. Don't be paranoid that if you don't wear sunglasses, you're going to be damaging your eyes. You actually may be damaging your eyes if you never expose your eyes to the sunlight.
Now, there's one exception. If you had cataract surgery and you have an intraocular lens in your eye, because the human lens has the natural ability to protect the eye from excessive amounts of ultraviolet light. So if you've had cataract surgery and you have a lens implant, then you do need sunglasses when you go outdoors.
Well, I guess that's a really good point to be aware of for all those listening who might have had cataract surgery. So what about these nutrients that are being promoted for the eyes, the lutein, zeaxanthin? What are your recommendations?
Well, you know, I'm having a very tough time dealing with that question. Because this is going to be the first time I'm actually speaking about some recent studies that have come out that have really kind of surprised me at the same time and also kind of confirmed, you know, my core beliefs. I've always felt that an individual needs kind of a customized treatment. You know, what is one person's medicine could be another person's poison. We see that in traditional medicine. Some people respond to the drugs, others have side effects. We used to think that there was good generic formulas for everybody, that you need zinc, you need antioxidants for the eye. National studies have shown that if you're lacking zinc, it's going to increase macular degeneration. But there was a really shocking study that came out that was published by the American Academy of Ophthalmology and I've discussed these findings with the author, Dr. O, from Tennessee, and he looked at the genetic subsets in patients with macular degeneration. And there was a genetic subset that showed a twofold increase in macular degeneration by taking zinc. Now, that's kind of shocking.
Wow.
And there was another subset that had a much higher increase with antioxidants. Now, the majority of the patients did well, but I'm talking about 20% who actually may do worse with vitamins. So now what I'm doing is I'm doing genetic testing on everyone that I see for macular degeneration, and I'm beginning to customize vitamin formulas for each person. I'm energetically testing them for each ingredient. Because, you know, in your practice, you always see patients, I can't take this substance, I have a reaction to it. And, you know, your first thought was, you know, how can you react to this? How can you react to zinc? Zinc is an essential nutrient for every enzymatic reaction in the body. You know what I mean? But the study kind of made me go back to my core belief. You know, in homeopathy, there just isn't one homeopathic remedy for glaucoma. If I treat 100 glaucoma patients, each one may need a different remedy. And I think we have to look at that with our nutritional supplements. So I'm getting away from generic vitamin formulas that are good for all macular degeneration patients. And in fact, just this week, I have a group of people here at the center, and I'm customizing. Each one is going to get a customized nutritional formula, you know, based on genetic testing and based on energy testing to see how their body responds to each substance. And I think that's the way we can truly help our patients.
I just want to say it's wonderful if you can do that, because you have that personal connection that they're seeing you directly. But what do we do without you? what would you give us some basic guidelines for those people listening who, you know, don't have the advantage of someone like you to personalize their program? Are there basic guidelines, generalized support?
Well, it's interesting. There are more and more eye doctors who are beginning to look at this. And I think also more and more naturopathic doctors will be more aware of this. So you don't have to go to a top specialist like myself for a customized formula. You can go to an optometrist, a naturopathic doctor, an integrative doctor to do this. So the testing is relatively inexpensive to get these genetic markers.
Which ones do you use, by the way?
The genetic marker is CFH, complement factor H, and ARMS 2. They're the two genetic risk alleles in age-related macular degeneration. And I'm using a company called Compounded Nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
They're very simple to use, reasonably priced for patients. But you made a good point. You know, I think that, you know, scientists and doctors are not clever enough to replace what nature has provided us. You know, by far, our best medicine is the food we eat. And you begin with that. You can't expect to have a crappy diet and replace it with some vitamins. I think you need good nutrition. And if you are suffering from an eye problem, maybe the first step would be to get an inexpensive, you know, generic formula. But if you're not responding to it or your vision's getting worse, then I think you got to take those extra steps and find somebody that has a certain amount of expertise that can kind of help you with a customized formula.
And, of course, we have to stay away from sugar, right, because sugar damages the tissues. Of course, that's why diabetic.
Well, the big one we got to stay away from is the high-fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
That's the poison that's everywhere. I mean, my goodness, you can't pick up a label without seeing high fructose corn syrup. It's in our salad dressings, condiments, fruit drinks, soda pops. My goodness, and there are so many things that the high fructose corn syrup is damaging our body. I do think it's probably a key factor in the development of cataracts. Certainly it's been linked to a higher incidence of obesity and diabetes. So, but you're right. Sugar in general is a poison. Mm-hmm. But the high fructose corn syrup is a poison squared. Other things we have to do, you know, I think we have to shift our diet more towards live living food. Not all of it, but I advise my patients, try to make 70% of your diet live food, because once we cook our food, steam it, bake it, we lose a lot of the important digestive enzymes that are essential for good absorption into our body.
Because I want to make sure we get this into our conversation, and I want to talk to you about the homeopathic remedies that you recommend, because there are some really good homeopathic remedies you mentioned in your book, and I just want to say that I, when I was looking through your book, I saw one of those remedies is called aphrasia, and I had, many years ago after traveling, my eyes were so red and inflamed and sensitive and swollen after a long plane ride and various other things that were compromising my health. And, I mean, I looked horrible. And there was only one thing that really helped my eyes recover, and that was aphrasia. When I found that homeopathic remedy, it was miraculous. So I think maybe if you wouldn't mind, let's talk about some of the basic homeopathic remedies that are available in most health food stores that people might consider if they have some of their, you know, eye issues going on.
Well, there's two ways of treating eye disease, and one is the acute condition, like you develop traveling on an airplane, you develop this redness and irritation. So I would advise the listeners, using homeopathic remedies for acute conditions is fine, but when you're treating a more serious disease, you have to be careful, because that's where you need the expertise of doing a constitutional evaluation, looking at the health history, the emotional state. So let's talk with the acute problems that all the listeners should be able to treat. Euphrasia is probably the number one homeopathic remedy for eye irritation. You know, it's great. There's euphrasia eye drops, and you can take it orally. In homeopathy, we really look at the symptoms, and we look at causative factors. In homeopathy, we kind of look at the pace of a disease. So, like, for example, let's take an eye infection. So there isn't one remedy for an eye infection. You want to look at the nature or characteristic of the eye infection. So let's say it comes on very quickly. There's a lot of redness and discharge and heat. Then we would think of homeopathic belladonna. Belladonna has the characteristics of coming on quickly, discharge, and heat and redness. So belladonna can be used for otitis media, an ear infection. It can be used for a sore throat that comes on immediately. So each remedy has a certain characteristic. Then let's take an example of a person that has a discharge from the eye, an eye infection with a discharge. Let's say it's yellow and purulent. So the two remedies that come to mind, if the person is kind of a weepy person, I would think of pulsatilla. You know, if they're affected by the eye infection emotionally. Then we have Rostox. That would be an eye infection that maybe the lids are stuck together in the morning and they got to pry the eye open. So we look for these characteristics which point to a homeopathic remedy. One of the most interesting homeopathic remedies that I like a lot, and I've used it successfully for treating styes. The stye is kind of like an abscess of the lid. there's a remedy that's the number one remedy you think of is staphylococcus aureus. And often a sty develops after an episode of indignation or ailments from anger. You know, an abscess is like an angry pocket of cells that are locked in the body. So staphylococcus aureus is a homeopathic remedy we look for in that situation. Another remedy that I like a lot is aconite. Aconite is also occurs very quickly, rapid onset, and it's a remedy from exposure to cold, dry wind, and I've seen it very effective for exposure to sunlight, where you get a burn on the eye. So in homeopathy, and I would encourage all the listeners to just get a basic book on homeopathy and begin reading about these remedies, because each remedy has a certain uniqueness. And it has an application not only for the eye, but it can have an application for other problems or conditions in your body.
Well, I think this is such valuable information, and I love homeopathy. I have to say it has been a part of my life. It's so affordable. It's so effective. Can act very quickly. And I appreciate you sharing some of these simple remedies, like you said, for acute conditions. Obviously, if you have something more chronic, you're going deeper, and that's what the
Can I share with you a wonderful case about somebody that was totally blind in his eye?
You bet. Go ahead.
This was early on in my practice when I just got my homeopathic degree. And, you know, when you graduate, you think you can cure everybody overnight. I was very, very cocky. So a doctor came into the office. He had been blind for 5 days. He was from India, so the Indians really believe in homeopathy. And he had heard that I was his homeopathic ophthalmologist. So I examined him, and he had a central retinal artery occlusion, 5 days. And I was taught in medical school that if you don't aggressively treat this thing within the first 5 minutes, there's no hope. He was blind, midnight in a coal mine. And he saw the top retinal specialist in the city, and they put him on Coumadin to protect the other eye. So I sat down with him and began taking his homeopathic case, you know, his symptoms, his complaints. And, of course, in homeopathy, we're always interested in causative factors, what was going on when this event happened. So he began to tell me that he loves to argue. He said, I'm very good at arguing. He said, I especially like it when I know I'm wrong, and I'll wear the other person down until they admit I'm right. And I thought that was kind of peculiar. And, of course, he's very talkative, very loquacious. And so I asked him, you know, doctor, when did what was going on when you lost your vision 5 days ago? He lost an argument to his wife. Now, you know, that to me, a light bulb went off in my head.
Right.
This is the case. This is the case. So what remedy? So I selected, based on the Materia Medica and doing some research, that Bothrops, which is the yellow viper, is a remedy for strokes, occlusion of vessels. They're very talkative and argumentative, and the sidedness was right. It fit everything. So I gave him the remedy, and he was flying back to his hometown in Louisiana, and I asked him to give me a call in a couple of days just to see how he was doing. He didn't call me in a couple of days, so I called him in a week, and I said, doctor, how are you? And he said, Dr. Kondrat, the remedy was wonderful. He said, 2 days after I took it, the vision started to come back, and now it's perfect. And it just, like, blew me away. And these are things that you see in homeopathy, miracles.
And don't you love them? They're so inspiring. You know, reminds us,
you know,
the body can heal.
The body can heal. So, you know, if you're listening, no matter what your problem is, I mean, miracles do happen. If you just follow the laws of healing, understanding what's going on in your body, respect your body, and you can reverse serious eye problems.
And, you know, I really want everyone to go to your website, which is 10essentialstosaveyoursight.com. Is that correct?
Healing the Eye.
Okay. The book is 10 Essentials to Save Your Sight, healingtheeye.com, correct?
And that's all one word, healing, T-H-E-E-Y-E.
Healingtheeye.com. To learn more, I know you have a wonderful radio show that people can access there, and you have retreats. So if people really need more intensive work to heal their eye conditions, they can contact you about your healing eye retreats that go on in Florida. many options to learn, but I certainly encourage people to at least start with your book, 10 Essentials to Save Your Sight. There's great information there. And unfortunately, we've come to the end. I would love to continue our conversation, but the program has run its course. They're kicking me off the air.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Cheryl. It was a real pleasure to be on your radio show. You're going to have to be a guest on my show.
Oh, I'd love that. And I just so appreciate the wonderful work you're doing. We need more doctors like you, and I hope you are inspiring so many more ophthalmologists to follow the path of healing. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for listening today, all my listeners. I appreciate you being with me. Remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. We'll be back next week. Take care.